B-Pod Studios.
Spinner again does nothing. Second deck.
7-0.
They might start playing New York now.
Good to see Remy get cranky.
Seriously, though, it's about time.
Downright embarrassing.
I mean, think of the stuff that has happened in Chris Sale's last two outings.
So that wasn't Chris Sale last night, by the way. That was the reliever. Who was it in last night? Who gave up that 3-1 homer to that bum?
Was it Ramirez at that point?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. So,
But either way, I'm on Chris Sale.
But I just look at in Sale's last two games, they've lost 8-0 to the Yankees.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't want to say it's a work in progress because we're not here to build up whatever, but it feels that, you know, I'm not going to be surprised if he's next out and, you know, he's right where we need him to be. I think stuff-wise, you compare it to the first three, the velocity was there, the slider was a lot better today. So I think he's very close to the real, I mean, quote-unquote, the real Chris Sale.
Alex told us that he thought your next start, you might look like the real Sale based on your stuff tonight. Do you share that confidence?
Well, you better hope so.
There's Sale. And I do love that, the core cut. I don't want to say he's a work in progress because we're not here to build up, but that is such a clear indication that he knows they screwed up and that they're getting hammered for their candy-ass approach in training camp, in spring training, and how they weren't ready to go, and they absolutely positively meant to treat the first month of the season as a build-up, that this is where we're going to build our pitchers up, not in March in Fort Myers. We're going to do it during the regular season, and we'll be fine because everyone else sucks and we're that good, and it's blown up in their face, and he knows it. So he says, I don't want to say he's a work in progress because we're not here to build him up, but that's exactly what you intended to do.
I mean, he even caught himself calling him the real Chris Sale, quote-unquote real Chris Sale. Like, you know, they just took it too far. They did. They took it too far. A team with that kind of talent, pitchers coming out, throwing the ball like that, all of it. And now here you are, you're 6-12, and you just got your face kicked in by the Yankees. And again, to me, this is a significant part of last night. Like, you beat them in the playoffs last year the first time you faced them. The first time. Sale's on the mound. Leon's behind the plate. They have half their team on the injured list. Half the team. And they kicked your ass with the new guy on the mound. They just shoved it right down your throat.
Okay. Your thoughts, Jared in Marblehead. Go ahead, Jared.
Yeah. You guys are forgetting this is the team with the wheel of gutless bums and entitled millennials who didn't get their ring ceremony and their party before they had to go to the West Coast for 2 weeks.
So... do you worry that these are still the millennial Red Sox?
I do. Yes, I do. Because, again, there's a sense of entitlement, right? That's sort of the whole point with the millennials. So these guys get their World Series. Now, what are you going to say about us now, huh? What are you going to say about us now? We got our ring. Okay, so you don't have to work anymore? You don't have to play anymore? Is that the deal? It's just it's over. You've accomplished everything you need to accomplish in life, and you can leave the planet now? Is that the deal? Like, it does. It irritates the crap out of me with this collection of players.
I just like being able to blame millennials.
Me too.
For anything,
for that
natural.
Too.
Tony, the millennial Red Sox. That's who they are.
Scott in Quincy. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how's it going? Let's go, Kings. First off, I don't know why Nordstrom is in the lineup. I've been waiting forever for him to be out. He is absolutely horrendous. Second off, I was thinking they miss Corrali badly. And I was thinking if you put Krug somewhere in the offensive lineup, because on defense, he's just been...
So I'm going to stop you there. Krug's not going to forward in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
How many times have we heard that?
Okay, so that's just silly. Do that in the offseason. They miss Corrali. There's no question.
They do miss Corral.
That fourth line was a real weapon for them during the year. Someone they could use to check and set tone. And without him out there, it's not the same. And that has caught up to him. I would hate to think that's going to be the difference between advancing and not your, you know, your 10th forward, call it. But please. So don't tell me you should still win. But he's left a mark. What was the first point that he made?
Nordstrom.
I don't get it. I said yesterday maybe it's for the PK because he's on that second PK. Other than that, I think the guy's a complete non-factor. And even on the PK, is he that special that he can't kill penalties?
Okay, so listen.
You have to have him to kill penalties?
So I'm not telling you I love Nordstrom either, but this is starting to become like Blake Swihart part two to me.
A little bit.
Okay, like, is he really the reason? I'm not saying he's good, but is he really the reason? Is that why they are where they are? And as far as Corrali, because they do miss Corrali, this series was 1-1. You went into game three. You didn't have Corrali. They didn't have Kadri. So which one would you rather have?
Oh, Kadri's a better player.
I mean, so like I look at that and say, no, still no excuse, you know, to amplify what you were saying. Like there's still no excuse there. They just lost a guy too.
Ted Mathun, give me a Red Sox take.
Yeah, this is for Tony. I watched the game last night, and Sale was pitching 97, and then I'm going to hang up after this. We beat Giles last week against Tampa. He hadn't lost in 33 games. My question is, do you think that the batting is catching up to the pitching? And I'll hang up.
Okay. I have no clue what you're talking
sauced.
About.
Yeah, he did sound sauced. Like, I hope he was, actually. So, look, I look at it and say, to me, April is typically a month where pitching dominates. Typically. And I dominate might even be a little too strong, but it's
you
a
have their edge.
It's a pitcher's month. It's a pitcher's month, typically. To get your ass kicked like this in April on the mound, that's a bad sign. Really bad sign.
Giuseppe, what's your thoughts on the Robert Kraft case?
I think this whole thing's being blown out of proportion.
Okay, and he dropped. Is it being blown out of proportion? Probably so, for a misdemeanor. But again,
who's responsible for that?
I just have to reiterate. Well, I mean, you know, Palm Beach did start with a big press conference, and they were sure to point out Robert Kraft. So they came in hard with it, and they publicized it. So they made a big deal of it. They're not exempt from the blown out of proportion business. But since then, they've offered to drop the damn thing. I mean, I just can't reiterate that enough. The people who think he's been unfairly attacked or victimized or taken to the wall, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. They wanted to drop it and seal the video.
Mike, this thing could have been over a long time ago.
In a day.
Okay. I'm not – look, you know, the whole human trafficking thing and then not turning out the way it was originally sort of packaged, fine.
I mean, yeah, so they bear some responsibility for that, for blowing that out of proportion.
Totally. Yeah, but, we got a big fish here. Like, yeah.
But the fact that we're still talking about it, oh, that's on Kraft.
No question.
He's fighting for our rights to privacy.
Right, exactly. Nelson Mandela now. Here's
he's a freedom fighter.
John in Vermont on the Red Sox. Hi, John.
Mike, I call you maybe once a month, and every time I follow the drunkest caller of the day. It's amazing.
Well, congratulations, John. That's good.
And I know it's mean to make fun of the baseball callers, but the guy who called to make fun, to compare Cora to Farrell, I think that was it for him. Like, I think a priest was holding the phone. I mean, that was like last rites. With regard to the millennial Red Sox, like that guy Jake, who's been calling every radio station in North America, he wants to bring in 76-year-old Jim Leland, who's been out of the game for 6 years, to replace Alex Cora, who the players love. And he's won two World Series in a row. Like, we can't forget that. Like, I know he wasn't managing the Astros, but he was right there. And the players adore him. And I'm not saying, like,
so John,
he's not... He's complete. What's up?
Okay. So, I mean, we haven't said fire the guy, but it is also fair
to say that
the approach that he and they took has completely blown up in their face.
Absolutely. And I agree with that. And he's not without blame. And he is a young manager. But he's got an awful lot of success as a coach, given this team's flaws. And what message does it send to the players when Dombrowski literally, did he make, what, two moves this winter? I mean, they did nothing. Like, they did nothing.
Parade. John, thanks for the call. How much did Dombrowski bear? How much responsibility?
Well, a little bit. Okay, a little bit. But again, even if they didn't bring back, how many games have they lost because they didn't have a closer?
Oh, like none.
Okay, so like, I'm not telling you I love their offseason either. I think a lot of it was driven by finances and not, you know, anything else. They want to stay under that luxury tax number, so they decided to go with the cheap bullpen. Fine. Okay, and if they were going to cut Blake Swihart 17 games in, they should have traded his ass in spring training and gotten something for him at the time. Put that on Dombrowski, too. But the on-field ineptitude? How do we blame Dombrowski for Mookie Betts? How do we blame him for Jackie Bradley other than to say that, you know, if you thought Jackie Bradley was going to hit 280, you're out of your mind? Okay, or like, or the fact that Rafael Devers still hasn't done anything. Or like, the players are capable of more. They're not performing.
No question. Patrick in the car, give me a Bruins thought.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So regarding the guy that said Kruger wing, thank you for hanging up on him instantly. Anyways, but moving Pastrnak to the third line, I don't know if that's about the defensive play of Krejci and that line in their own end. Maybe they're trying to force Toronto to pick their matchups, you know? You either leave their best defensemen and their best forwards against your top two lines and let Pastrnak and Coyle go against some lesser competition to try to get them going, or force Toronto to play their best defensemen against the Pastrnak group and leave their second and third pairing guys to go up against your top line. Maybe it's Cassidy's sure. trying to create a mismatch. So,
okay.
I don't know.
He is. And the more you spread it out, the more choices the other team has to make. Like, that's sort of self-evident. It's just, I mean, how about walk before you can run? And how about giving Krejci, who's played well all year and is playing well this series, a legit guy on his right side, and just make him choose between two before you get to make him choose between three?
I mean, that's what I would do. I would put Pastrnak with Krejci. That group, DeBrusque, Krejci, Pastrnak, ooh, I like that. Like, I feel they complement each other well.
So I mean, let's see what Cassie does. I asked you before, more pressure on the players or the coach tonight? And it's both. Like I mean, that's a tough either or. Because Bergeron, you know, it's not the coach's fault Bergeron's losing his faceoffs and getting beat in his own zone. How is that Cassidy's fault?
It's not Cassidy's fault. But again, at some point, you're beating your head against the wall. And then you have to make a change.
And he's been too stubborn, which he hadn't been throughout the whole season.
I mean,
it makes no sense.
If you're getting the same result over and over again as a coach, then you don't stick with it. You make an adjustment. And just jumping back real quick, because we touched on this earlier with that idea of what if Pastrnak goes to the third line, as Fluto Shinzawa suggested in The Athletic. What I didn't consider is that Johansson could be on the left wing of that group. So if you had Johansson, Coyle, and Pastrnak, and they're going up against a third D pairing, or they're going up against a third line, I don't know. Maybe I like that better than I thought I did. Like, they, you know, because Johansson can play, I think.
We continue with your thoughts. After Murray's update, there was some breaking news today on Robert Kraft. In case you have not been caught up on the latest, here it is.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Pastrnak shot. Deflects wide of the Leaf goal. Zaitsev didn't get much on it. Played into the corner with 8 seconds left. Marchand back to the point. Pastrnak closing. Near side. Krejci. Pastrnak shot. Stop block. Two blocks made by Marner. What a play. Holy mackerel. The Leafs little guy. Is a hero right there. Grand Marnier blocks two shots at the end to preserve a 3-2 victory.
And there's the backdrop to the Bruins. We've talked for months and months and months about, well, there's Tampa sitting there in the second round. You got to go through Tampa. NHL record for wins. Best team in hockey in over a decade. You got to go through Stamkos, Kucherov, and Johnson, and Hedman, and, you know, all that talent there in Tampa. We talk about for months and months and months. They were swept last night. Swept. Tampa's gone.
Unbelievable.
One of the great all-time gags.
I mean, really, to me, and again, I would like to me one of the great collapses in NHL history. I don't know any other way to say it. And I actually thought John Cooper, the coach of the Lightning, had a good line. He said, you know, first of all, he acknowledged the fact that they never had to really play any hard hockey during the year hurt them.
Yeah, they never faced any adversity, never had a game that mattered once.
But I found that to be a startling admission for a coach, like to say, you know, it hurt us. It hurt us. We really didn't play a meaningful game all year. like that. And then he said, you know, we had a historic regular season and we had a historic playoffs. Like, wow. Like he was pretty blunt. Now, I didn't realize. I told you, to me, he should be fired. He signed an extension last month. I missed that.
Yeah,
I totally. Yeah,
he still could be fired. But.
Yeah, I totally whiffed on it. But that, what a collapse.
Okay, so you no longer have to go through Tampa. Can you get by Toronto? That's the backdrop to tonight. Bruins tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The Celtics also after 7 p.m. will broadcast on our sister station WROR. Grandy and Max with the call. In fact, we will give you bonus Celtics coverage tonight. Felger and Maz will go an extra half hour, except I have to bounce. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, Maz, to leave you holding the bag.
Don't apologize. It's usually I'm here regardless.
But Maz and Murray will take you an extra bonus 30 minutes. Felger and Maz will be largely Celtics. Sean Grandy will join them, and they'll touch on a whole bunch of, you know, I mean, whatever you want. So stay on the line. If we don't get you this segment, we're going to pick it right up off the top of the 6 o'clock hour. And again, Celtics coverage will be on ROR, Bruins tonight on 98.5 The Sports. A big night for the Beasley Media Group as well. And if you're watching on TV, as always, me and Amante will have some Bruins postgame coverage on NBC Sports Boston after their Celtics coverage. By the way, I'll just mention it here. Celtics should have played last night. We've been in a nice little rhythm. Bruins, Celtics, beach team every other night. That's a little spring rhythm that I really like. Now that they're double up, they're going to be both playing on Wednesday night, both playing on Friday night, and that, frankly, is stupid.
It really is, and that's a league thing. It's obviously not a Celtics thing, but it is dumb. You should have Tuesday, Thursday with the Celtics. They shouldn't be playing tonight and Friday.
I mean, really, it's colossally stupid.
Ridiculous.
I mean, it is. It's asinine to have that time off.
Like they needed 3 nights rest.
Oh, I don't get it. And the postseason's not long enough as it is. We got to start adding in nights now? Oh, dumb. Please. Dumb. D-U-M.
Speaking of the Celtics, Nathan in Newton has a Celtics thought for us. Hi, Nathan.
Hello. First time caller here. I was wondering, how long do you think the Celtics have to go to keep Kyrie?
How far do they have to go to keep Kyrie? Jimmy Stewart, if you're online back there, I want to ask you, because you've been saying forever and ever and ever again, Kyrie's gone. He's bought a condo next to Durant in New York. They're both going to the Knicks. You've been on that forever. If the Celtics go to the NBA Finals and challenge the Warriors for the NBA Finals, do you think that would change his mind?
I don't.
So you think he's gone, Jimmy, no matter what?
I think he's gone no matter what.
Okay. I think he's gone too. But if they really make a run, like NBA Finals and win a couple games in the Finals, I think there's a chance that he gets some of that green juice flowing through his veins and just, you know, wakes up one day and says, no, I want to stay.
Especially if Hayward plays well.
Like, that's a good point.
Because you need that second guy, right? Like, if all of a sudden it's, oh, that's right, this is what it was supposed to be. Then someone can sit down with him and convince him. Because God knows it doesn't take much with that guy.
No, it doesn't.
So you sit down with him and you say, Kyrie, look, at the end of the year is what it's supposed to be. This is what we are.
So I think the writing's been on the wall. I think he's got a foot out the door. If you get stopped at any point in the East or get swept in the finals, you know, you get to the finals, but it's sort of a humiliation, you know, gut punch. That sort of has the same effect. But if it's beyond that, you know, again, just because the guy is mercurial, there's a chance. Because if he's a moody guy, maybe he wakes up one day in a good mood and he stays.
Sybil.
Hopefully Maddie for the Hull Celtics, that's July 1st that he wakes up and goes, oh, yeah, I'll sign the max contract. I'm in. I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I missed that first part.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. Next call.
Okay. Maddie and Hull on the Bruins. Go ahead, Maddie.
Hey, Mike, I just want to talk. Everybody's talking about line changes for the Bruins and moving this guy here and this guy there, but does it really matter when it comes down to it? Look at game two with the Bruins. They come out, they smash Toronto in the face, they win the game, right? Take a look at Tampa. Tampa was so afraid to go in the corners against Columbus after the first period of game one. They cowered, Mike. They went in there with one.
But Columbus also has some good size. You don't quite have that size.
They do, but the Bruins are physical, Mike. And when they're physical, they win games. Does it really matter who Krejci plays with? They came in second in the Eastern Conference, or whatever conference it is, for a reason.
Okay, you're right.
It comes down to playoff hockey, Mike, and being physical. We've always talked about it here, and I think the Bruins need to bring it again tonight, and they'll win the game.
Okay, Matt, thanks.
I agree completely with that.
Well, so when I say to you, is it more on the players or the coach? You say coach, but that's the case for the players that you're better than this.
I know you're facilitating the conversation. It is both. And yes, the players are responsible for this, and they need to make, you know, they need to be more aggressive than they were in games one and in games three. But Cassidy can't be as stubborn as he has in these first three games. He's got to break it up. It ain't working.
So it's both, I suppose.
See, I think the caller's logic is flawed, though. When he says, look at game two. All right, well, let's look at game one last year against Tampa. You won 6-2. So if you played the same way, you would have won them all?
They won 6-2.
The Bruins won 6-2 in game one last year.
There must have been some empty netters in there.
Okay.
Anyway.
But the point being is, so what? Now one game tells you everything? How do we know that game's not the outlier? Like, you know, if they lose in five, we're going to say, oh, yeah, they should have hit them like they did in game two. Or are we going to say, no, they get outplayed. The Leafs wipe the floor with them. When it really came time to play, the Leafs were better. And to me, that's been the striking difference in Toronto. The discipline, particularly in their own end, they're committed to it. And so, I mean, again, weigh it out. You look at it, you say the Bruins lost the first game 4-1. They won the second game 4-1, but they got a late goal, so they scored three goals in that game, and this one here was two. And one of them was Krejci hitting a freaking flop shot that popped over the goalie. You know, again, it counts, okay? But I don't feel like the Bruins have exactly been generating a ton of offense.
Alex and Methuen, good thing they had Sandy Leon last night, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, Mike, for all the excuses and for all the baloney around getting rid of Blake Swihart and how that's going to have some sort of effect on this pitching staff, I mean, what's going to happen next? What catcher is going to go next? The ridiculousness, and I'm hearing people say that they actually thought that was a thing. And around the city, that getting rid of Blake Swihart somehow is going to affect Chris Sale is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. This team is on its way down, and they're doing nothing about it. That was the stupidest move that could possibly happen. You guys touched on it yesterday. I hope you guys have a great night. Thanks for the call.
Okay, babe. In the first couple innings, though, when Sale sent him down 1-2-3 and he's throwing 97 miles an hour, didn't you say to yourself, oh, here we go?
Yes.
Here we go.
And I was pissed. Because, hey, you got to be kidding me. All of a sudden, you get your whoopee back there, and all of a sudden, the life's back on your fastball. And so, honestly, again, selfishly, I was happy it went the way it did last night. You knuckleheads. You think it was the catcher? It's not the catcher. You've all got your heads shoved way up an elephant's ass. Like, that's really what it is. You're so far up there, you can't see the light of day. Completely oblivious as to what the cause was.
Brian in Springfield on Robert Kraft. Yes, Brian.
Yeah, guys, let me just preface this. I do agree that Mr. Kraft definitely had the old rub and tug, and I'd also be lying if, you know, I didn't say I indulged every once and again in my lifetime, but you also have to take into account what are the chances that video would have been leaked out no matter what happened with the case? What, 90%, 95%?
So that's a separate deal than the legal fight, you understand?
Yeah, well, exactly. But, I mean, take back, what was it, the Mueller case for the steroids in baseball? Oh, it's going to be an anonymous sealed thing, blah, blah, blah. Every single one of those names were in the New York Times, for Christ's sakes. So,
okay, but Brian.
If it's, yep.
But there's nothing to fight there. I mean, if it's going to be leaked surreptitiously, if it's going to be leaked illegally from someone who just wants to make a buck with TMZ, or, you know, someone who just snaps a picture of it, the janitor coming by with his broom, that's a whole separate deal than fighting for it in court. You can't help that thing. You know, if it's going to be pirated, it's going to be pirated. These are actual machinations that the prosecutors have to release it because of the law, and Kraft's fighting it in court.
Oh, yeah, no. This is quite literally a legal case. And we're talking about police evidence here.
And, oh, by the way, it would have been sealed if Kraft had taken the plea, and the charges would have been dismissed. Not a guilty plea, not a guilty finding, not an admission of guilt, technically. It would have been dropped. The entire thing would have been dropped, okay? And if it's pirated on top of that, well, there's nothing you can fight with on court there. Someone just did that illegally. And we'll see. I don't, you know, they've done a good job so far. I mean, no one's gotten it yet. So don't tell me they're not trying.
Well, so look, I'll tell you, though, if I were the police department down there, I'd be careful. Because if that thing gets out, I think you're opening yourself up to a massive lawsuit.
So the person who's then responsible, yes. So that is fair enough.
But I would think that somehow, ultimately, the police departments could be culpable. Is what I'm getting, because it's in their custody. So if they lose custody of it, then that's negligence.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that, and again, I'm just talking off the top of my head.
No, and the prosecutors haven't done that. The prosecutors said today, we ultimately have to release the video because that's the law. That's the well-established law in this state that we have to release this video to these news outlets. And they said the only way that we won't is if a judge orders us not to. And so Kraft went and found a judge, and they, you know, ordered it pending the hearing on April 29th. So they're playing – the prosecutors are playing the video part by the book.
So I'll tell you, though, it is interesting, though, that if you go to the case on the owner of the spa and the manager of the spa, the two women, the video is evidence there, too.
Yes. Yes, there's prosecution. Yes, there's bigger charges against those two.
I mean, so, like, sooner or later, doesn't it have to come out?
That's sort of the prosecutor's point.
I mean, I guess if Kraft were to win his case, then maybe they can't release the Kraft video. They release other videos.
I don't know.
Because there were other people on tape, not just Kraft, right?
That's right.
So maybe that's what the but, again, I'm thinking out loud.
But does Kraft have to be included in the 24? Because those women were servicing twice. There's a couple of them in there servicing Robert. Wow. So the point there is that they're going to release it on there. On their end of it, not his end of it, but it's the same video.
Oh, he should just take the deal.
No, you think? Like, No.
Good God.
No, you hate us because you ain't us. You just want to take us down. You're jealous of our success. No. Fight to the end. Fight to the end on this one, Maz.
I'll tell you what, though.
He's fighting for our freedoms.
It is a fascinating game of chicken, though. It is. It's a fascinating game of chicken. So, excuse me, Your Honor, speaking for the defense, that tape is pornography. Excuse me, Your Honor, speaking for the prosecution, we have to use that tape anyway in the other case. So it's got to come out one way or the other, whether it's pornography or not. So they can bitch all they want, but the fact is we need that tape for this case, too. Like, what a great game of chicken, really.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Folks, we're not done. Felger and Maz today going to 6:30, not the baseball reporters, Felger and Maz. Celtics coverage, Bruins coverage, getting you more game ready. So, Jimmy, you can release the hounds for the people to come in still if you want at 617-779-0985. If you're on the line, hang on. We'll do a quick final word, then get back to you. Stick around.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. All right, well, we opened the show today crapping on the Red Sox, who lost again last night, this time to the Yankees, and one caller didn't like our collective negativity in talking about the Sox, to which I said, tough. They deserve it, and the Red Sox stink.
Chris in Linfield. Hi, Chris. Christopher.
Hey, what's
You're
up,
on the air.
How are you? What's going on? Go. How are you? All right, help me
go. No pleasantries, go!
All right, listen, you guys got to stop being so damn negative. It's 12 games, whatever, 15 games in the season. You guys got to tone it way down with the negativity. You guys don't even seem like your Boston fans. I don't get why you guys...
I'm not tuning it. They're done. How about this?
Attaboy.
They're not making the playoffs.
Attaboy.
They suck.
Attaboy, Murray.
We don't have to tone it. Do your eyes work? Have you seen this team? All right, we were wrong about them last year. You still want to call up and blah, all right, we were wrong for mocking the 108 wins. They suck this year. They're probably not making the playoffs. I'm not toning it down.
Attaboy, Murray.
Yeah, and I'll double down on it, too. If they lose tonight and Tampa beats the Orioles the next two nights, and then they go to Tampa and get swept, they'll be 12 games out of first come Monday morning.
He's got them losing four more, right? It's good.
What's the magic number, Murray? Yeah.
And we had Rob in the recliner call in with a great insult towards Mike Felger.
Rob in the recliner, you got a thought on the Kraft case?
Yeah, Felger, you frail old lady. What the hell's wrong with you? Between your hair, your glasses, like your whole new getup, like seriously, and your takes when you'll give one every now and then.
you know, White House lawyers to fight a misdemeanor.
Because I'm like your candy ass most of the time, but... So I root for the underdog in this. He's the 1% who might be able to win this case.
Wait a minute.
You can't be serious.
He's the underdog, Rob?
No, I'm saying there is no underdog.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. Those cops and those prosecutors and those civil servants down in Florida, in this case, are the underdog. Would you please? Of course they're the underdog.
I root for the underdog.
That was a good one. Well, that's it. But that's what we do here. I mean, that's how stupid Patriots fans have gotten. Robert Kraft's the underdog.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, Felger, what are they doing picking on just a little billionaire who owns half of New England?
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.